Good morning. Yeah, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Grace Fellowship Church this morning. Great to see you. We're going to, as you guys come on filing in, it's a beautiful day today. Everybody's enjoying it out in the little entryway there, I'm sure. But come on in. We're going to worship together this morning. And if you could please stand, we'll open up with a call to worship kind of song.
Time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. Sing one day every tongue will confess you are God, one day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to time to give all your heart and come just as you are in worship. Come just as you are before your God. Oh, we come willingly, and willingly we choose to surrender our lives. With all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength, we gladly choose you now. And one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are in worship. And come, just as you are before your
Amen. That's why we came this morning, right? Got to worship it out. This is the fun one that we learned last week. We're going to do it again.
Go. I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows and take your stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside, a current that moves and makes you come alive, living water that brings the dead to life. Whoa, whoa, we're coming now. Down, down. gold into paradise. All of my dirt, all of my shame, drowned in the streams that have made me born again. Oh, like the tide, it is rising up deep inside of current that moves and makes you come alive and live in water that brings the dead to life. Whoa, whoa.
That's a fun one. That's a fun one to play. Thankful for our young people that gave us that one. It's going to play our fingers off, though, I tell you that. Okay. Talking about holy and forever. For us and all the thank you, Lord, for the fact that no matter where we are in our life right now, you care for us and you love us deeply. No matter if we know you or not, you still love us deeply. And you are for us. And you are holy. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. All God's people said.
Amen. And at this time, children, you are dismissed. And we're going to take a few minutes just to greet one another. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Sheila, and I have the privilege of welcoming you all here this morning on this lovely September day. If you are new here, we're so grateful to have you. There are welcome cards in the back of the chairs we'd love for you to fill out, and just for us to get connected with you. There's a place in the back in the lobby on the left where you can turn that in, and there's a gift waiting for you there. So, and we'd love just to have a connection with you there. Let's see. You probably noticed on your... I don't want to go out of order. Hold on. Primetimers lunch is coming up. So, and I think we've got the dates October 12th at 11 a.m. If you haven't been to one of these before, they are so fun. I should say you have to be over 55 to go. 55 or older. So, yeah. Mark, you going to go? I know. Look at that. So, I'm 1 year closer to going now, but... So if you want to learn more about that, there's a table in the back to sign up, and or you could speak with Jerry Cook or George or one of the other wonderful people that kind of help with that. If you haven't been, it's so fun. I've gone as a singer before and a few other things, but thanks to Jerry. But it's a good time. So anything else you'd want to say, Jerry, or that's it's $10. Please. Yes. Yeah, the food is always delicious and the decorations and so much goes into that. So a reminder about tonight, there is an evening in the park. If you have not been to one of those before, it is a great time just to bring your blankets, lawn chairs, to sit and be with one another. And it's Sutter Creek Park. And so from 4 to 7, we are in need. Need of hot dogs, hamburger buns, and please sign up with see Pam after church to sign up to bring these things if you need to. So 5 o'clock is when dinner will be served, but the celebration in the park will be from 5 or evening in the park. We could celebrate in the park too, either way. Yes. You just need buns? Hot dog or hamburger buns. Let me put my glasses back on. We need hot dog and hamburger buns. We do not need hot dogs. So, Pam, you can see her after church to sign up for that. I should just leave these on. I see much better. But if you notice on your seat today, there are some cards. So as we've been talking about this month, we have tables at 3 different places. And so if you have not filled one of these out, or this is a good chance even during this service, not that there'll be any lulls in Mark's speaking today, because there isn't. But if you ever, you know, you could probably just think, oh, let me write a note to Georgia. She's done so much for, or what, you know, whoever. Just as people come to mind, write a note. If you don't like the one that's there, there's other cards at the station. You could probably take the one from your neighbor. I see there's extra ones sitting around. So grab one that you like, and it's just a good way to encourage. That will get, there's drop boxes at the 3 tables and also in the lobby, and that will get delivered to that person. And just a way to be a blessing to others as they come to mind on things that, I mean, I don't know. I feel like people do things for me all the time, so it's a good way just to acknowledge it. So there we go. And then Women's Bible Study starts this Tuesday, and sign-up is in the church center. I know. Woo! Go ahead. Cheer for it. Women's Bible Study starts this Tuesday. Woo! Go ahead. there's more information in the bulletin, but also on the church app you can sign up. If you can't make it this week, but you can only come once a month or whatever, that's okay. We still want you there, so don't feel like, gosh, I can't do every Tuesday. That's all right. Come when you can. So, and then I just want to give my own little plug here. We had youth group here last week. It was awesome. We had, I think it was 18 kids there. It was such a great, I know, it was awesome. I was so blessed by it. But just a reminder, you'll be getting more information. We have an activity next week. Weekend, look for information probably coming tomorrow or the next day with more details on that. So, but yeah, just, it's, thank you, Lord. It was, thanks for praying. And it's just been, it was really, I know I was blessed. I think all of us leaders that were there, it was a good time to be there. So, and there are four ways, I think now, I used to always say three ways, to give here at Grace. We've got the box in the back before and after the service. On your bulletin, you've got a code that you can actually scan to give. You can go online or the Vanco apps. There's different ways to give. And thank you just for continuing to help support ministries like youth group or different things by giving money. So just so grateful for how you continue to humbly and graciously give here to Grace. So would you join me in praying? Lord, we just come to you on this sunny September day, and thank you, Lord, just for that we're here together and we can meet with your people and with one another. I just do pray for each person that's here that if they're wherever we come today to this service, Lord, that you would just meet us as you do where we're at. And thank you just for your body and just the connection we have here. And we pray for Pastor Mark also as he brings the word today that you would just continue to infuse your spirit into him and that his words would, they would just resonate to us as you want them to, Lord. And we just praise and thank you in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Sheila. Well, I think most of you know that 2 weeks ago we had a congregational vote to affirm Maddie Simpson as our new children's ministry director here at Grace. And this morning, we have the privilege of inviting both she and her husband, Andrew, up here because we are going to pray over them, have a commission for them. I'm not sure where they're sitting, so I'm going to invite them to come. There they are. Come on all the way up here, Maddie and Andrew. And as they're coming, I want to remind you that tonight at the Evening of the Park, there's going to be a big blow-up water slide. So if you want to participate in that, you got to come prepared to get wet. Bring a towel, bathing suit, so on. I was going to say it's for kids, but really anybody can do this. So be prepared for that. Maddie and Andrew, welcome. We are so excited for you guys. They just have moved here from Yucaipa, California, accepting the call that from God through us via Grace for them to be serving and be a part of our church fellowship. We are so excited about that. And as the role of children's ministry director takes on a lot of responsibilities and weight, as any role God uses us to do, particularly in a staff position, there's heightened expectations. You know, you have to be generally perfect in what you do. Are you ready for this?
I think so.
Okay. So I wanted just to, we're going to have a time where I'm going to say some special words to commission Maddie for this service. But we want to most of all welcome her and hear a little bit. So Maddie, tell us a little bit about maybe what's on your heart as you anticipate coming and being a part in this role.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really thankful that you guys voted to accept me as your children's ministry director. I'm really excited. I've been able to meet with Debbie King already, and I'm setting up meetings with Dana and other of the volunteers and people who have been doing this for a long time to help me to kind of learn and grow and just be a part of ministry here. And I'm really excited. And I just want to thank all of you. And if you ever have any questions, you can come up to me if you want to volunteer. That'd be great. I would love to meet you and have you involved in these kids' lives that they need Jesus. And so you could be a part of his worship to them, you know, serving them. And so, yeah, I'm excited.
Well, we're excited for you. And to introduce Andrew as well, he is also called by God to ministry and pursuit of Bible education and yielding his life to whatever God has for him. And that has been included youth ministry, children's ministry through Child Evangelism Fellowship. And this is kind of a new road ahead of him as he's considering how is God going to use him in this capacity. And of course, we're excited about him putting his hand to the plow. However, God leads him here at Grace. There's always need, and so we're so excited for you to be here as well, Andrew. And he also is a fisherman, loves to fish. He's like an ocean fisherman. I'm a small water, mountain lake stream fisherman, but I think our paths are going to cross in this area. At least that's my hope as well. So what I'd like to do at this time is particular commission Maddie for this position, this role that we are hiring her to be in, and we're going to pray over her as well. And so that involves a couple of things. I'm going to ask Maddie to participate in this, obviously as the one being commissioned, but we're appealing to us as a congregation to play an active role in prayer and support for Maddie in all kinds of ways. And we are committing to that for her. We want her to succeed. We want her to use all the gifts God's given her and God to do amazing things. And so it takes all of us together to do that. So to that end, I would like to commission you, Maddie. Maddie Simpson, it has become apparent to our elders, our children's ministry board, and to our congregation that Jesus Christ has called you through the Holy Spirit to serve as the leader of our children's ministry. Maddie, do you agree to faithfully and humbly serve the people of Grace Fellowship as the leader of our children's ministry, doing your best with Christ's help in accord with the mission of Grace to uphold the responsibilities and duties of that office? And if so, respond by saying, I do.
I do.
I do. Did you hear that? I do. And to you as a congregation, do you agree to faithfully support Maddie in this ministry, to pray for her and to uphold her in her responsibilities with Christ's help?
I do.
Yes, with enthusiasm. Very good. So I'm going to ask the two of you to come right down here. And I want to invite the elders and those who have served in the elders in the past to come up. I would love to see the children's ministry, anybody from the children's ministry board or children's ministry board members from past to come up. I would like you to surround them because we are going to pray and commission them to this end. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, we understand your calling on Maddie's life. Thank you for filling her with your Holy Spirit, with faith and love for you to serve you on behalf of our children here in Amador County. God, you have gifted her with skills and experience, but most of all, the empowerment of your Holy Spirit to do this work that you have called her to. And so, God, we ask that you would continually and faithfully provide all that she needs to do exactly what you are calling her to do here at Grace Fellowship. We commit to supporting her and continuing to pray for her to this end. And then we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Let's welcome Maddie and Andrew once again.
Little victories, small victories, large victories, they are in our midst. Amen. Let's sing about that if you can stand one more time. God's people said, if you can remain standing for the reading of our word this morning by Steve Hazard.
Morning, Grace. So it's 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Well, as you may have observed from last Sunday, I was not up here last Sunday. We had a special speaker. Rowan's had come from Jessup University. Grateful for our informal partnership with them, and that's where our youngest daughter graduated from Jessup, so grateful to have a representative there to come and be a part of us last Sunday, because the whole week previous I had spent up in the mountains pursuing beautiful places, trout, and sleeping under the stars. It was I so am grateful. This is something I do once a year, and I take an entire week and spend it somewhere in the wilderness, which God uses uniquely to provoke deep things in me. You know, you're in those spaces and you don't have your normal distractions. You don't have your phone, you don't have television, you don't have the tasks that you need to be doing around the house, those projects and so on, and even the people that you normally spend your time with. And in those spaces, there is lots of room for God to speak to you in unique ways. And you are alone with your thoughts. And if you haven't been used to being alone with your thoughts, those spaces can drive you crazy. And I've been there many times, especially in the opening day or two of these kinds of trips, where you're feeling agitated and anxious, and you feel like you need to be doing something. And God, I think, uses those spaces to speak in unique ways. So I'm grateful for that. Grateful to you that you allow things like that. It's for my well-being and to enable me to do what I'm called to do here. So moving forward, I want to draw attention to a couple things. One is that this morning we have a special guest among us. Special because this is her last Sunday here, and that is Karen Faust. Karen, right? Can you just stand really quick, Karen? Yeah. No, remain standing. No, just kidding. You can sit down. Sorry. No, I'm serious. You can sit down. I know this is one of those things where if we told Karen we were going to mention her name this morning, there'd be a good odd she would not be here today. So we had to kind of surprise her with it because she is moving to Texas to be near other family, though she's leaving some family here. But it's what God's calling in her life, and God's put that together. So we're excited for her. But Karen has been so faithful in so many years over at Grace to do what God has called her to do all along the way in various ways. And many of you know, if you know Karen firsthand, how God uses her to invest in people. She's been involved in our children's ministry, in our Stephen ministry, and really whatever what God guides her hand to, she does well. And Karen, we will miss you dearly. And so we just want to acknowledge you today, okay? Next Sunday, one quick announcement, we're starting a new 9 a.m. series, and I got the privilege of talking about it because I'm the one teaching it. So next Sunday, as a part of our 9 a.m. Are you controlling this or am I controlling this? Okay, there's something wrong up here. Okay, are you switching to me? Okay. There we are. Okay. I added the little thing in the bottom. Like, that doesn't sound right. Look right. So we're studying Proverbs. Things, you know, on a Sunday morning don't always go to plan, and it's okay. We're family, right? So I'm a little thrown off by that. This picture, by the way, was a picture I took last week. one of the parts of the trail going through one of these high mountain meadows around, it's called a granite dome loop. It's, as you can imagine, it's a loop that goes all around this giant granite dome in the emigrant wilderness. It has nothing to do with Proverbs, but I just slipped it in there. But next week, at the beginning of 9 a.m. hour, God has given us the wealth in scriptures of wisdom. The most wise king of Israel is Solomon, who was one of his favorite things to do is collect wise sayings. And many of them he wrote himself. And we are going to study thematically some of those sayings on the wisdom that God has toward marriage, work life, purpose in life, how to raise kids, you know, relationships, anger, things like this. They're just so applicable to everyday practical life. It'll be great discussion, so I want to encourage you to come beginning next Sunday, 9 a.m., for our 9 a.m. equipping hour. So which leads us to this. We are beginning a whole new series on Sunday mornings. I've been so excited about this. I thought about this series since last spring, actually. And it was originally going to be taught at a 9 a.m., but I just felt so strongly about this. We're going to do this on a Sunday morning because I just think it's so important for us to consider what is my purpose here on earth? How is God going to use me to do what he is, you know? We just commissioned Maddie Simpson this morning, and, you know, it's like, wow, God's called her to do this particular task. What's it like to know God's calling in your life? What's it like to kind of have this direction from God that this is what you ought to be doing in your life? Some people have that really clear sense about it, but lots of us don't. We were thinking, man, I really want to do something of value. I really want to do something that affects people's lives around me, that I feel like my life here actually meant something. And I want you to know that every single person that God has allowed to live and to breathe air on earth are because we are given God's very image to dwell in us, are here for meaning and purpose. That's one of the rich aspects of becoming a Christian that I love, because you all of a sudden get attached to God's purpose in the world. God's the one who created all things. He made the rules. And when we know him and have a relationship with him, everything we do now can take on greater purpose because we understand what God is doing in the world, where he's pointing things, how things are going to end up. And we have this privilege of being co-workers with him in that process. And so it's for every human being, but in particular, those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, we can't miss the reality that you have a purpose. There is meaning to your life. And however God's wired you, gifted you, whatever experiences you've had, God will use in particular for his glory while you are here on earth. It is important for every single believer in Christ to live with purpose. So, today's particular message, if you're taking notes and so on, kind of the subtitle is, What on Earth Am I Here For? It's kind of the introductory idea. And I know that I did the title, ended with a preposition. If that really bothers you, you can break that rule once in a while, right? What on earth am I here for? I want to know what my purpose is. And so the duty this morning is to give you kind of the scope of how God uses people. That, in fact, he uses people for his purpose, for his glory, and gives us great and deep meaning as a result. I'm going to give you lots of examples of that this morning. And then, beginning next Sunday and following, we're going to kind of zero in on different aspects of the kinds of things that God equips us with, both good things and things that are hard for us to figure out in our life, and troubling things even, to particularly use us for his glory and give us great meaning. So if we think about this question, trying to answer it, as Christians, we it's helpful us when we read the scriptures, because the scriptures are going to inform us as to what God's will is. What is the greater purpose of our lives? And we're going to draw all of our principles from this. So let's start with our universal purpose. This is the purpose that God has given every single one of us. We're going to move toward our particular purpose, but we have to start with our universal purpose, because we won't be successful in fulfilling or even understanding what is my particular purpose until I am adequately and consistently fulfilling my every believer's universal purpose. So the scriptures are pretty clear about this. This will feel like a review for many of us, but it's important to state. Number one, God's purpose for us is to love him with everything we've got, to set our minds on God, to love, he's given us through Jesus an opportunity to have a relationship with him, to join with him in his work and in his will on the world. And so we have to do everything to make sure our heart is centered on God, first and foremost. Secondly, you might guess, we're supposed to love other people like Jesus loves us. Jesus laid down his life for us. Though we were considered enemies, separated from God by our sin. This is the level and depth of love. And if Jesus said among his disciples, if you love each other like I love you, the whole world's going to take notice that you have been hanging out with me, that I, in fact, abide in you. This deep, robust love that can extend all the way even to our enemies, but in particular can really be manifested among other believers in Jesus. And it's amazing when you look at God's people, the generosity we are able to show one another, the sacrifice we are able to show one another, the forgiveness that we offer one another, though sometimes we hurt and harm one another deeply. Jesus in us can overcome many of the hard obstacles that the world would say, nope, I give up. That's, you know, that person's on their own. I am not going to reconcile with them. You know, forgive someone that hurt me? No way. That is off the table. To a believer, we are supernaturally empowered to do these things. And that's why the world stands up and goes, wow, that person hurt you. You acknowledged that that was really painful. That person humbled themselves and said they were sorry. You forgave them. And now you're working, doing this hard work of reconciliation. That should be commonplace in the church. It's not always, but that is our universal calling, to display that kind of love toward one another, right? And thirdly, as you would imagine, we're making disciples of all nations. We're telling the world, both by our lives, the things we do, and the words that we say, that Jesus offers eternal life for anyone who would place their faith and their trust in him. We have this message to live out this gospel in the world around us as we go to work, as we raise our families, as we interact with our neighbors, and so on. Right? Universal purpose, universal calling every single believer has. And if I were to sum it up in a statement, I would say it like this. Universally, our purpose is to reflect God's image in us accurately, his character, how he loves, his moral character, all of those things, and his plan that he's working out in the world. We're joining ourselves to that plan. So we emulate his image, join his plan in a world that we live that has been corrupted by sin. We are out in the world telling people about Jesus. And our lives should stand as a contrast in many ways to the injustice, the oppression, the lack of love, the cold-heartedness that sometimes we experience in the world. The church, because God dwells in us and reflecting his character in us, his plan, should reflect a deep sense of meaning, purpose, love, morality, all of these things. Are we doing that? That's our universal calling. So let's look at a couple scriptures that we can use a lot of them. Here's a sampling of them that kind of bring up this idea. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, for instance, says, we meaning Paul and his traveling companions, we have not ceased to pray for you, Colossians, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, God's plan, right? And in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, you would grow in this so as your life would reflect, you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Sounds a whole lot like love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love other people, right? We pray that you would just grow in that ability. Philippians chapter 2 Do all things, this is to the church, by the way, without grumbling or disputing. Why would he need to write this to the church? Except that we need to grow in our ability to display love toward one another, because grumbling and disputing also exists in the church, just like anywhere else. But we respond to it differently. We respond in humility, in love. Those are my side preaching boxes that it's hard for me to get off of because it's so important, right? This is their prayer. Do everything without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, that you might stand out in the generation you currently live in. Children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How are we shining as lights in the world, right? We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love other people as Jesus loved us, self-sacrificially, offering forgiveness, being kind, respectful, so on. Holding fast to the word of life so the day of Christ, I, Paul, may be proud that I did not run my in vain or labor in vain. Back to Colossians chapter 4. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, the people that don't know Jesus. And it begins to add this element of urgency, right? Making the best use of time. We only have so many days. Jesus is coming. I only have so many days on earth. I don't know if tomorrow is my last day on earth. I have no idea. I hope not, right? But none of us know. We only have a certain amount of time. So let's be mindful, purposeful with our life. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. This is gracious, seasoned with salt toward people who don't necessarily believe the same things or live the same way that we do. How are we graciously impacting the world around us, shining as lights? And so on. And finally, Ephesians chapter 5 says it this way: look carefully then how you walk, or how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, being thoughtful about your life, making the best use of time. There's our urgency again, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It is our universal purpose to love God first and foremost, and to join him in his plan of reveal his self-revelation to his world. He's invited you. He's invited me to display God's character and plan to our generation. So we have to be thoughtful because the time is short. We have to be thoughtful. We have to be wise, not foolish. We have to think and gain understanding. What does this look like for me? This is the argument I'm making. Right? Okay. So now we're ready to move to our particular purpose. What's my particular purpose? All right. I understand my universal purpose. This is the foundation upon which that I'm going to gain my understanding about my role. But I know I'm just going to live foremost for Jesus, impact other people by living out his character, loving people, all those things. So I don't know, how is it, God, you're going to use me? And we'll just throw it out there. There's a bunch of ways that God shapes us uniquely, that every single one of us is like a fingerprint. There's no other person quite like you in your temperament, in your personality, your appearance, your life experience, and so on. So God uses all kinds of things, our talents and our gifts, things that are just kind of come naturally to us that maybe doesn't come as natural to someone else, and also gifts, the idea of God himself divinely giving us abilities that seems to be supercharged by his Holy Spirit. We have education and skills. This is something that we gain over the course of our lives if we are growing up in such a country that gives education as an opportunity. Many people grow up without that opportunity in this world, but God uses education. And all of us, though, have opportunity to learn skills, whether that's being a stonemason or a carpenter or learning skills in any range of ways, right? We are gaining education and skills all of our life. God uses that in addition to our life experience. The older we are, the more experiences we have. The more life experience we gain. Time and place also factors into this. Where was I born? Where am I growing up? Where has God put me? We look at the biblical examples. Sometimes God puts people in particular places at particular times for a very important reason. Why am I here in the United States of America? Why am I here in Amador County right now? Why has God placed me in the sphere of people that I rub shoulders with every single day? What is that particular purpose, and how is he going to use me in this time and place? Season of life. Sometimes we have all the time in the world because we're young and single. I don't have a lot of responsibilities. I do anything I want when I get checked, you know, punch out the clock after work. I got the weekend or whatever that looks like. I got a lot of choices, right? Or we're married, or we have kids, or we are retired, or, you know, whatever. Choose your season of life. Every single one of us, you know, if you've lived any length of time, your opportunities and your giftedness, your education, your skills change, and your time that you can dedicate to things change according to your season of life. How is God using you now? The reason I put this in here too, because sometimes we feel very full of purpose at one part of our lives, particularly if your purpose is attached to your career. Maybe we're in, you know, a high-level management or whatever, and you're saying, you know, I have a lot of vision, and when I speak that vision, I got teams of people who are carrying out that vision, and I'm, you know, part of a moving and shaking with regard to this company or whatever that looks like, and then you retire. And, you know, where did all my purpose go? Where did all my influence go? It went with my career. You might be in a position where you're rethinking, what is it in this time, in this season of life right now? Or maybe I was really healthy. I had all these choices ahead of me, but now I'm really limited because I have this ailment that I'm dealing with that's really narrowed down some of my choices. God, what are you using me now in this place? I guarantee God has a particular purpose for everything, every season of life. Positive and negative experiences. You think, Lord, I'd really like to be used by you, but I have all this baggage in my life. I've made so many mistakes in my life, or this thing has happened to me that was so traumatic. I feel like it shaped how I see the world. I just see it through this dark lens. I have a hard time trusting people, you know. I carry this forward, these hard things about my life experience. But we're going to find out in this series that God uses, he redeems even those traumatic, difficult, hard seasons of loss and pain and struggle to use us in a particular way over someone who did not have those same experiences, to minister in a particular way maybe to somebody else who's going through that same or similar experience. God gives us rich meaning and purpose. And finally, personality and temperament. What are the things you like? What are the things you prefer? How did God kind of wire you as a person? God uses all of these things to shape our particular purpose in life and to give us deep meaning. But here's the deal. All this makes sense so far, right? I mean, you probably heard these kinds of statements before. But here is the big trump card that I want to just throw in there that is universally true of the scriptures when we're talking about someone's particular purpose as they are called by God. And it is this: divine calling and empowerment. You can have all of the other things, and we should consider all those other things. But we're also going to see examples in Scripture, in this series, where God uses particular people who did not feel like they were a good fit for what God was calling them to do. They felt particularly underqualified. God, are you sure me? Are you sure you want me to do that thing? Yes, I have chosen you to do that very thing. But there's so many other people who have much better gifts in alignment with what this is. It sounds really intimidating, really overwhelming. I'm not sure, God, you want me to do that. I mean, probably some names in the scriptures are coming to mind when I use that kind of language. Here's the deal, that no matter what, I mean, God uses all those things that are behind there, but the reality is when God calls you, and he will also divinely empower you to do the work that he's called you to do. This is why, Maddie Simpson, we prayed for you, because we recognize you have all these great gifts and experiences and so on that made it helpful for us to make the decision to say, you're the person for us. But we are ultimately dependent on God's calling and empowerment in your life. God's the one who's going to yield the fruit. God's going to one that causes things to grow. Paul himself said, you know, I'm just a co-worker with Jesus. It's God who's actually getting the credit for things happening and changing and growing. And sometimes God uses us in very humble ways for his glory. It's like, I don't feel empowered. I don't feel particularly gifted. I don't feel talented. But God is using me. And I'm just being obedient because he's called me to this thing. We'll see that time and time again. So it's going to be really fun, really fun. So let's take some time and look at some examples, because probably some of these names come to mind for you if you have been in the church any length of time and you've studied the Old Testament or the New Testament. God loves to bring up people, because God uses people to accomplish his task. So he gives us great examples all through the scriptures of people in all kinds of backgrounds and spheres of influence and so on. He doesn't only use the pretty people and the really smart people and the athletic people, right? He uses every single one for his purpose and glory. So let's see some examples. Let's go to the Old Testament, right back in Genesis. Abraham. What is Abraham known for? His morality? Kind of. Not really. His faith, right? I mean, if you're a reader of Paul, Paul loves to quote and say, God credited Abraham with righteousness. Why? Because he believed. What did God tell Abraham? He was up there where was his home again? Ur, thank you. Ur of the Chaldees, right? And he said, hey, leave your land, leave your family. This is a big ask for anyone in a patriarchal society. You leave your village, your family, your clan, you remove yourself from all of your protections and your positions in life, and you put yourself at high risk, great vulnerability when you leave that environment. It's a big ask, okay? It's not the same as Karen moving to Texas, right? There are people welcoming her there. She has value wherever she goes. We love that about being in the United States. Not so with someone living in Abraham's time. When he left home, land, he left everything. And God said, I will show you a land that I'm going to give your descendants. I'm going to give you a son, though he was already past childbearing years, both he and his wife, Sarah. And I'm going to, through you, be a blessing to the entire world. I mean, those are pretty big things. Abraham, I don't know how many people were living on this planet then. He's like, me? Really? He said, yes, I believe. I believe you can do all of these things, and I'm going to do it all. I'm going to leave everything and trust you. So Abraham's known by his faith. And God, over the years, fulfills every single one of those promises. Think about Ruth and Boaz. I love this story. If you kind of fast forward in the Old Testament, you get to the time of the judges. And the time of the judges, things weren't really great all the time. In fact, most of the time, they were less than great and sometimes just bad. During that history, there was no king in the land, no central figure or capital city that was really guiding the nation of Israel. They were an infant nation, and so everybody kind of did what they thought was best. Even though they had the law, there was no one really, you know, God was the one who they were supposed to be looking for, and oftentimes they just didn't. And so in that time, God had put in the law that you were to make sure that you were caring for the foreigner, the widow, and the orphan. Again, in a patriarchal society, these are the people with the least amount of rights. Abraham was a foreigner in the promised land when he came down into the area God showed him. And so God says, remember, you were a foreigner. Make sure you're also treating kindly the foreigners. So Ruth was a foreigner. She was a Moabite. She had married a Jew. They moved outside of Israel because there was a lot of bad stuff going around. They were just pursuing food and work opportunities. Her husband died, and there was no other heirs. They didn't have a son, anything in that society. Unless you have a son or you're married to a person who owns land, property, has title, you're on your own. So that's why God has particular provisions in the Old Testament for the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner. They're the most marginalized in any part of the culture. And so here's Ruth, has nothing. She's a widow and a foreigner. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, who's a Jew, she's going to go back to Israel, though she's also a widow. She doesn't have anything. She didn't have any sons. And so you better just go on your own, go back to your people, kind of figure things out. Ruth is noted for her loyalty. No, I'm going to be loyal to you, Naomi. We are in this together. And her loyalty to God, who Naomi and her son had introduced her to. I'm going to be faithful to God. He is the one. I'm not going to go back to my old gods. I'm going to go back. There's no hope there. There's more hope in Israel. We're going to go with you. She's known for this loyalty. She goes, and Boaz is a landowner. He is a patriarch. He has property. He has position. And he, as a responsibility to Naomi, as what's called a kinsman redeemer, to redeem their name, to give them land, and by potentially marrying Ruth. Well, in the days where that wasn't really happening that consistently, and certainly no one was holding them accountable for it because there was no king, nothing like that. Boaz is known for his integrity and his generosity. These are simple traits: loyalty, integrity, generosity. And God says, okay, you are like lights shining brightly in the midst of your generation. I am going to bring attention to you because it reflects my heart. God says, I am like a kinsman redeemer. Even though Israel is lost, I'm going to send my son to die on the cross to redeem all of the world. So he gives us an example of his plan, of his character through Ruth and Boaz, someone who is a foreigner, a widow who didn't have anything, someone who is a landowner who is just acting in integrity when no one else was, or few. Moses. Talk about Moses, the chosen one, right? Moses. Now, there was infanticide happening in Egypt when Moses was born. Every male child was supposed to be chucked in the Nile for the crocodile bait, right? And his parents were godly. They said, we can't do that. And so they put him in the Nile to kind of obey the law, but they couldn't just kill him. They put him in this little woven basket that floated, and they floated him down the Nile. And he, by God's divine providence, was picked up by the daughter of Pharaoh, and was raised in an Egyptian household. Talk about someone whose God has chosen from the beginning and who is going to have a life of privilege. He was educated in Egypt, grew up with everything he could ever think or want. So yes, Moses is the one that will lead God. Let my people go. Right, Moses. But was Moses really the guy? He himself was exiled from Egypt because of some choices he made, taking justice into his own hands. He had to run and flee for his life. He lived 40 years as a Bedouin shepherd in a foreign land, in a foreign family. And it was 40 years before God showed up in this burning bush and said, Moses, you're my guy. You're going to go back and you're going to deliver Israel, who had been enslaved by Egypt for the previous 400 years. He's going to be the guy. And Moses said, you're right, God. I could see it from the beginning. You've chosen me. You've educated me. I am the spokesperson for you. I can do this. Was that Moses' response? No way. He said, are you sure, God? I'm an exile. I don't think my face should even be seen in Egypt again. I have this speech problem where I get all stammered and I stutter. I can't, you know, you want me to be your spokesperson? God said, who made man's mouth? Who put voice in your lungs here to speak? Yes, I'm going to choose you and I'm going to give you divine empowerment to do exactly what I'm calling you to do. And all Moses had to do was say yes. Moses had an uphill battle his entire life, first delivering, being the way that God delivered Israel and leading Israel themselves, who was that particular generation was known to be stubborn and stiff-necked, rebellious, who ultimately didn't go into the promised land because of that. That was Moses' leadership. And the writer of Hebrews says this about Moses: he was faithful in all God's house. He was faithful to do the work God had called him to do, even though that work didn't seem to bear a lot of fruit. Even though that work was really hard, Moses was faithful to do it. Oh, man, that speaks to the calling of someone who is in the middle of, God, you told me to do this, but it is hard. I don't even see the light at the end of the tunnel here. I don't see any fruit of it. Are you sure? Moses, great example. I love these examples. Think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The time of the exile, Israel is conquered by Babylon, carried into captivity. What was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's gift? I mean, what set them apart? They were good looking. Okay, talking about Instagram influencers, these guys would be your candidates right here. And they were super smart. They learned things really quickly, language and customs and so on. They were easily educated. And what really denotes them of all of their in their generation is, again, back to this word, integrity. They were true to their God, even though they were living in a foreign land, and God rewarded them for that. So not only does God use people like Moses, like, are you sure, God? I got this past. I don't really have this personality and language ability that is like a big leader. Are you sure? These are the up-and-comers. These are the big, you know, even though they were young, one thing that's against them also is that they were youths. Right? You think, who am I? I'm only in junior high. I'm only in high school. I'm only in college. It's like, man, God can use you just like he used Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Read all about it in the book of Daniel. Esther, what was her, what was she known for, especially initially? Beauty, right? She was a beauty queen. Did she have any responsibility for her beauty? No, that was a gift that God had given her. And for her, honestly, it was a bit of a curse. Why? Because she won the prize to be the wife of a foreign king who was not a good guy. He was a bad guy. He was a drunkard. He had anger problems. And he did not treat his... He was known for not treating his wives well. Here's someone who was chosen because of her beauty, put in a position that was not a very honorable... It was honored by, I guess... It was an honor to be a wife of the king, but it was not a fun proposition. But Esther, in that time, in that place, for such a time as this, is where we get that phrase, is from the book of Esther. God uses her courage to intercede for Israel and saves them from annihilation. So that's just the Old Testament. We can keep going here. Let's go a few, a little bit more here. Think about the disciples. We know we're more familiar with these, so I'm going to spend less time here. The disciples, they were already, by the way, overlooked by all of your Pharisees and Sadducees, people of religious influence of the day. They were already beyond the age that the kids were selected to be disciples of these spiritual leaders. And Jesus chose these men and women to be his disciples, whom he would use in amazing ways. They were just fishermen. They were, one was a zealot, an extremist political figure, right? One was a tax collector who his own countrymen hated. Jesus carefully selected each one and was going to use each one, and according to a lot of different factors, but one we wouldn't always imagine initially as to why he would use these individuals. Think about Paul. Paul, again, a great, wise, or Hebrew of Hebrews. He was excelled beyond everybody else. He was top of the class. He was an athlete, I believe. He gives so many athletic references as to what he compares his life and believers' life to. I think he's either a fan or an athlete himself. And yet God called him for a particular reason. He wrote much of the New Testament. Lydia. Lydia was one who was just kind-hearted. She made stuff, she sewed stuff, and she gave that stuff away. Why is she in the Bible? Because the people that she impacted, what seemed like a pretty relatively small, nobody knew her outside of her group, but what they knew of her was one of a great big heart, charitable acts of kindness to the people around her. And they came to Paul and said, please, would you do something? She's died, and they're asking Paul to raise her from the dead, which she did. He did. Amazing. But Lydia was known for just being faithful to be kind and do charitable work. And they think about Tabitha. I'm sorry, I got this mixed up. If you're fact-checking me, Lydia was actually an entrepreneur in Philippi, and she housed the first church in Philippi. She's one of the initial converts. So let me get that straight. It is Tabitha that was the one who was known for the kindness and the acts of charity. So you think about these names and how God uses particular people at a particular time, a particular place, sometimes because of their background, their education, their skill, their life experience, sometimes in spite of it. But every single one of them had a divine purpose and mission and lived their life because they were obedient to say yes to God and reflect on what is it, God, that you're using me to do? God used them in ways that were blessed by him in his glory. One last example. Think about Jesus. He was born to Mary, who became pregnant, not by Joseph, her betrothed. So it was scandalous. Jesus' ministry, his life began under deep speculation as to who was his father. Now, we as believers know that God himself ordained that pregnancy because he would be the Son of God born among men. He grew up in Nazareth, which is an obscure town. The people who responded to Jesus coming from Nazareth said, well, what good comes from Nazareth? It wasn't a place that was noted for kings or prophets or anybody influential. The Old Testament scriptures describe the appearance of Jesus as ordinary. Nothing about his appearance that would draw you to him. He wasn't tall particularly or good looking or anything like that. He was just an ordinary person, just like you and me, out there in the crowd, not necessarily standing out for any particular reason. Yet, this is God's divine choice to save the entire world. He did so through an ordinary human being, his own son, Jesus. This is who walked this earth with humility. So, what is my particular purpose? That is the question that this series is going to attempt to answer. One that I want us to be reflecting on. Maybe you have many times. I know I've reflected on this statement so many times in my life. I was reading an old journal even this morning, just seeing in the pages how I'm constantly, God, is this what you want me to do? One is because I want so desperately to do God's will for my life. Two, because it's like, God, I'm measuring my success by, am I making an impact? So we're laying our lives down before the Lord. What is my particular? We have to ask this question and come with a meaningful answer. So as the worship team comes on up, I want us to reflect on that. How do you think God is going to use you, your personality, your giftedness, your life experience, the baggage that's in your life, maybe even the failures that you've experienced, your health condition, the brokenness of your life, or the success of your life? How is God going to use you? How is he using you already? So let's stand as we reflect on that. And here's my charge to you this week. Take some time and jot down this question on a piece of paper and begin each morning to answer that question. You're not going to come up with your definitive statement. Maybe you will. But likely this is an understanding that will develop over time. Begin that process this week. What is my particular purpose? And begin to write down some of the things we've talked about. God, how are you using me? What position have you put me in? What kind of experiences have you given me? How are you going to use me? And we yield our life afresh every single day to him and his purpose. He will reveal it. I am confident. Let's sing together to that end.
To own.
Lord, now we commission each of us to your goal, to your purpose. Give us discernment by your Holy Spirit this week and the courage to act on what you reveal to us. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace to you today.